Church. So a few minutes ago, during our worship service this morning, we did a thing we do every week where we sing a song, and then at some point during the song, I say, greet one another in the name of Jesus. And at that point, as our musicians continue to play, we step out of our places, step out of our comfort zones, and step into one another's lives. We roam about the sanctuary, we shake hands, we hug, we exchange pleasantries. We're generally carrying on, glad to see one another. And some of us enjoy that. Some of us are like, not my favorite part. But have you ever wondered why we do that? I mean, it's not as such in the Bible to do that. You can look through the text of Scripture till your eyes bleed. You won't find a command that says, pause halfway through a song and say hi to everybody. So then why? Why do we do it? I mean, that's a question. Well, if you've been with us in recent weeks, you'll remember that I've been preaching about things we do in the church, particularly on Sunday morning. I started out the year with a three-part sermon series about baptism called Step into the Water. And I followed that up with a three-part sermon series about the Lord's Supper called Come to the Table. It's part of an overarching plan for the year in which I'm also going to be preaching about things like the offering and the singing, the praying, and the preaching. Today, though, what I'm doing is I'm not starting a three-part sermon series about the greeting time because I don't think it warrants a whole series. But I do want to talk about it. So today, greeting. Because it is something we do in the church, and not just us. Lots of churches do it, although different churches do it in different ways, call it by different names. And churches that are more informal and or exuberant than we are, you'll sometimes hear it referred to as the hug and howdy. That's pretty good. In churches more formal than ours, particularly those that are, we might say, in touch with the ancient roots of church tradition, because this is, in fact, a very ancient tradition of the church. In churches such as those, you'll hear it referred to as the rite of peace, or as passing the peace, or even just the peace. They do it. They don't do it as vigorously as we do it, but they do it. Churches that are very in touch with the ancient traditions may call it the pax, which to me always sounds like it might be a skin condition. Not pax. I think I need some ointment. In our church, though, not quite so Latinate and exalted, we just call it the greeting, or greeting time. But why do churches do it? Well, as with baptism, as with the Lord's Supper, it's a symbol. It's symbolic of a larger reality, a larger idea that we do find in Scripture. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. That's what the Apostle Peter said. We read it just now as part of our Scripture reading, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. I don't know if that jumped out at you, but it may have if you were paying attention. You might want to look at that in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible with you, I encourage you to grab one from the rack on the pew back in front of you and have a look. In the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Peter is writing to the churches scattered throughout Asia Minor. It's a letter from Peter to the churches. Epistle is the proper term. And in chapter 4, Peter is talking about how being a follower of Jesus should change our life for the better as we live it day by day. And so he says, we need to remember that we're living in the last days. That's what he means when he says in verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. And so he says, this is how you should behave in such circumstances. Self-control, sober-minded, loving one another in community, putting to use whatever spiritual gifts you may have to serve one another and the church. And all of that is understandable and brings a sense of urgency and esprit de corps to what he's saying. But in the midst of it, there's this command, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And what does it mean? Suddenly we're supposed to be what? Serving little snacks and putting mints on pillows and, I don't know, origamiing napkins into swans and whatnot? What does that even mean, show hospitality? See, we read the Bible and we think we know what it means until we really think about it, and then we realize we don't know what it means. See, in order to understand this commandment, and it is a commandment, one of the one another's, one of the one another commandments of the Bible, in order to understand it, we have to cast our minds back to the ancient world, the world of the Bible, the world in which Peter and his first readers lived. In that time, and in that place, hospitality was this very elaborate and codified affair. There were certain things you did and certain ways in which they were done. They might vary a little from place to place, culture to culture, Roman, Greek, Jewish, but everybody understood them. And the most basic facet of hospitality was, in fact, this matter of the greeting. It's a very big deal. Now, in our society today, we're very informal about our greetings. Hey, how's it going? What's up? Even just, hello. We might wave at one another. We might just give one another, you know, the guy thing, the silent head nod, right? If we shake hands with someone, that's a pretty formal greeting. I don't shake hands with the clerk who rings up my groceries, or the sacker who puts them in sacks. When I see my mail carrier, a wave might be in order, but it would be weird if I ran outside to shake my mail carrier's hand. But in the culture out of which and into which the Apostle Peter was writing, greeting someone was much more complicated. It was a very complex business. And if we don't get that, when we read the Bible about people greeting one another, we're likely to miss what's going on. For instance, in the book of Genesis, when we're reading the story of the patriarch Jacob, and he goes to visit his mom's brother Laban, his uncle, we read, as soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. Now, if we don't understand what's going on, the cultural norms at work, we're going to think, wow, he was super glad to see him, which is weird because they'd never actually met before. That's not how we would usually treat someone, even family, that we'd never met before. Of course, that's not precisely what's happening, that Laban's just unusually glad to see him. Actually, when the Bible wants to indicate that a character is super glad to see someone, that character will weep. That's the mark of excessive, excited, exuberant greeting. You read the Bible, and you just have to imagine all these hairy, bearded, Bronze Age guys crying all over one another. That's how they did it. On the other hand, embracing and kissing were simply a normal part of a normal greeting. What we're being told as we read this is that Laban is a respectable member of his culture with decent manners, who's eager to observe the appropriate social niceties. This is just how it's done. It's just what you do. And at that, we're even being sort of shorthand about it. In those days, greeting someone was very labor intensive. You got in close. You grabbed the person by the arms. You embraced them. You kissed them. And then you talked. You'd ask about one another's family, how one another's crops or careers were going. It took a long time greeting someone. And time was sort of the point. You took the time because the time meant something. And this fact that greeting someone took a long time is what's behind that otherwise strange command that Jesus gave to the 72 missionaries that he sends out in Luke 10. You remember this?
where he says, carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road? Have you ever read that and wondered, why not? How rude? Well, the mission isn't be rude to folk. That's not what Jesus was saying. This was actually a social norm if you were on an errand and in a hurry at the time. You might actually cross the street, go around the block to avoid having to greet someone if you were on an urgent errand. Because every time you met someone and had to greet them, the greeting might take 15 or 20 minutes. You know, run into four or five people on your way, and that's an hour or so just lost to greeting. And what Jesus is saying to the guys was, you're on a mission. Don't get distracted by the greeting. Now, not only was greeting elaborate and time-consuming in those days, but it was also very status-driven. This is something that makes us a little uncomfortable in our very egalitarian culture, but it was. You didn't extend greeting to just anybody. Greeting had to do as much with those whom you did not embrace as with those whom you did. On the one hand, some people, beggars, the poor, people of other races and nationalities, people, you know, that people of your society didn't want to have anything to do with, your enemies, people who were far down on the social hierarchy, you didn't greet those people at all. You'd lose face if you did. On the other hand, especially when you were welcoming someone into your home, someone of equal social status to you, you greeted that person yourself at the gate of your home. You would kiss him on the lips. That seems weird to us, but that's what they did. If the person were of greater social status than you, someone important, you would bow and kiss his hand. If the person was of really greater social status than you, you might actually bow to the ground and kiss his feet. Now, contrary-wise, if it was someone only a little bit lower, your social inferior, slightly, you might send your eldest son out to greet them. A little further down in the hierarchy, you might send the head of your household servants to greet the person. But there was always a greeting. On the other hand, though, if a beggar came to your gate, no greeting for him. You might send someone from your kitchen staff to go and give the beggar something, but you wouldn't greet such a person. Heavens no. Now, after the greeting, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because it's greeting particularly that we're talking about, but after the greeting, in Peter's culture, dry Mediterranean climate, people wearing sandals on dusty roads, that meant you would offer them fragrant, scented anointing oil, and you would have their feet washed. And we have to know that that was the norm, or we're going to miss what's going on, for instance, in Luke chapter 7. Jesus is visiting the home of a Pharisee named Simon. Some of you may remember that story. And at one point in the story, they're already eating a meal together, having a religious conversation. And Jesus calls Simon out for his lack of hospitality. I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. You gave me no kiss. You did not anoint my head with oil. What's going on? Is Simon just a negligent host? Forgetful? Maybe a little ADHD? No. He doesn't want to have to commit to a status for Jesus. Equal? Greater? Lesser? I'm not going to treat you like a beggar, but I'm not going to say where you stand relative to me. Safer just to do nothing, even if it seems like an insult. You can come to my house, sure, but I'm not committing. What the Apostle Peter says in our text this morning, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. What he's saying is commit. And we don't have to do those particular things in those particular ways. Especially foot washing isn't a part of our culture. I remember some years back in this church, we were contemplating We had stopped at the contemplative stage. That's all we were talking about, the possibility of doing a ritual foot washing at a fellowship dinner. And there were several of the old ladies who were like, but we would have to go without our pantyhose. It's not our culture. Whatever. But there are some truths that are universal here. And these we need to get. First of all, the reason we do greeting on a Sunday morning is that it is a tangible act of hospitality. Tangible. It's not a mood or spirit or a vague sort of atmosphere that we try to cultivate in general. It's words and gestures and physical touch. Some of you, I know that the reason you show up for church late is because you want to skip the greeting time. Stop skipping the greeting time. Because it's not about how we say we feel, it's about what we do. Now, it is about how what we do makes the other person feel, but that's a separate matter. That's why it's always important, church, it's always important to greet other people at their level of comfort, not yours. Don't impose a hug if what they want is a handshake. Don't impose a handshake if what they want is a little wave. But it is interesting. If you look through the Bible, a weirdly disproportionate number of the one another commandments of Scripture have to do with this matter of hospitality in general and this matter of the greeting in particular. For instance, in four different places, three of them from the Apostle Paul and one from the Apostle Peter, the command is greet one another. Romans, in 1 Corinthians, and in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, greet one another with a holy kiss. And we say, hey, Apostle Paul, that makes me uncomfortable. It makes my tummy feel funny. Could we maybe substitute a holy handshake? And I would suggest that before you greet someone's spouse with a holy kiss, you check with the spouse, okay, that's how rumors get started. But in fact, that's a question, by the way, that's a question to ask any of your friends who go to one of those churches where they like to say, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. And they like to assert that they take everything in the Bible literally. Ask them if they greet one another with a holy kiss. If you want to be a troll, you can do that. That's good Christian fun. And that's not to say that there isn't a place in the Bible for a handshake in the greeting life of the church. The Apostle Paul tells how, when he was first starting out, he met with the leaders of the Jerusalem church, and he says, when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me. And we're like, see, that's much better, the right hand of fellowship. And yes, the point was they greeted us as equal partners in ministry. But Peter says, in the same epistle from which we're getting our text, greet one another with a kiss of love. Now, I don't know about you, but at first glance, all that kissing might seem to me like a lot of one another energy to expend on something as seemingly insignificant as the greeting. Why this emphasis on greeting one another? Well, you have to understand what the church was like in those days. Let's say, for instance, that you are a more or less well-off Gentile in the church. Not much of a stretch for most of us here this morning. I mean, globally speaking, that's what most of us are, more or less well-off Gentiles. But you've become a Christian, and you find yourself worshiping in a church with Jews, poor people, slaves. In fact, this was a real thing that might happen. You might discover that a slave you know of, because he belongs to a friend of yours, he's a friend of yours' property, some slave you know of, you might discover that that slave is an elder in the church you've joined.
Awkward.
So let's say one day you're out with some friends, some of your comfortably well-off friends, and walking down the street, you pass this slave, this fellow Christian who's an elder in your church, one of your church leaders. What do you do? You've got a decision to make, because your culture says you pass that person by, no eye contact, not so much as a slight nod of the head. But Peter says, greet one another with a kiss of love. Are you going to stop in the street with your friend and do that? And see, in that culture, greeting one another in the normal, average, everyday mode by which you would greet an equal, it was a tangible act of radical, countercultural egalitarianism. And that's maybe a hard thing. That's not what you're used to doing. It's not what your friend expects to see from you. And they're going to want to know, what was that about? Why did you just embrace that slave and give him a kiss of greeting and talk to him for 15 minutes while I stood here shifting from foot to foot? What was that about? And it's likely going to cost you some social points. Or let's say maybe you're a Jew and your church has Gentiles in it. And one day, one of the Gentiles from your church comes to your house. And there you are at the gate of your house, welcoming that Gentile and his family into your home, showing hospitality. And your neighbors are peeping through the blinds, wondering, who is that? Is that somebody important? They must be important. He's greeting them at the gates. But they don't look like Jews. I think they might be Gentiles. He's letting them into his home. And it's about the fact that even in small things, even in little ways, if you take the gospel of Jesus Christ seriously, if you take his message of radical love seriously, it changes your behavior in gigantic ways. The gospel is socially revolutionary. Peter and Paul say to people who are at widely different social levels and part of antithetical social groups, you greet one another. Acknowledge one another as equals and associates prominently, publicly, fragrantly. Flagrantly. See, we read those greet one another statements, and they just sound so harmless, right? They're there in the text, greet one another, greet one another. And it sounds so easy because it's just the greeting time. We're going to sing a verse or two of a song, run around the building for 5 minutes, saying hello to everybody, and then sing some more. But the 5 minutes on Sunday morning are symbolic of a much larger truth, a larger reality, a reality so big it overturned the social order of the ancient world, and will overturn the social order today if we take it seriously. See, when the Apostle Peter says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling, he uses a word. We translate it, show hospitality, but it's really a single word. We remember that the New Testament part of the Bible was originally written in first century Greek. And in Peter's Greek, the word he uses is philoxenos. Everybody say that word with me. He lives in us. It literally means having affection for strange people. And Peter says that's what it means to be a Christian, that you have affection for strange people. And then Peter says, have that for one another. Now, I could make a joke right here, and I am going to, that the church is for strange people. This church anyway is. If you're a strange person, welcome home. But that's not really what Peter means. I mean, it is, but it isn't. What he means is, when there's somebody who feels like a stranger, when there's someone who feels like nobody knows who they are, make them feel like somebody knows who they are. Which, by the way, in the church is a pet peeve of mine. And I'm just going to go for a minute. Can I just confess to you a pastor's heart for a minute? It is deeply troubling to me. I've had this conversation so many times. It is deeply troubling to me. Someone who has been attending a church the size of ours, under 60 people on a good Sunday, someone who's been attending a church like ours for years, I mean for like 10, 15 years, regularly attending, and I'll mention in conversation some other person attending equally as long. And person A will say of person B, I don't really know who that is. And so then I have to go into description mode. You know, Anglo lady, kind of tall, sits about halfway back on my right. And the person will say, oh yeah, I kind of know who that is. I think I've seen her around. You kind of know who that is? You think you've seen her around? Hospitality says you get to know those people. You get to know those people and you help those people to feel known. Get to know the people in your church. You might like them. Let hospitality extend itself beyond the walls of the building. On a Sunday morning, stand around and talk afterwards till they shut off the lights. Come early. Get to know people. Ask someone you don't know very well to go to lunch with you. And I know, for those of us who are introverted or socially awkward or socially anxious, it is a terrifying prospect. But you know, there is no better feeling in the world. Tell me if this isn't true. There is no better feeling in the world than the feeling of being well and truly known and accepted in the knowing. Isn't that one of the deepest longings of the human heart? Which is why hospitality is on the list. Not just the list in our text in 1 Peter 4, but it's on the Matthew 25 list. You remember the Matthew 25 list? Jesus says, for I was hungry, he gave me food. I was thirsty, he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. I was a stranger and you welcomed me is on the list. You know, this greeting thing turns out to be really, really important. Because when you greet one another, turns out you're greeting Jesus. When you don't greet one another, you are failing to greet Jesus. And not only that, but wasn't that what Jesus did? Isn't that what the cross was about? What was the cross But Jesus opening wide his arms to welcome those who have no home into an eternal home. What was the cross if not the hospitality of God? Because of what Jesus did on the cross, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. See, when we take the time to greet one another, that's what we're really saying. We're saying, welcome home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm very thankful to be a part of a church that's pretty good at greeting one another. But my prayer, Lord, is that we can get better. That where there is room for improvement, we can improve. Lord, I know that it is the greeting that we find most difficult to do that is most valuable to you. That when we are shy or low energy or anxious, we'll feel awkward. But greet one another anyway. But that's where the Holy Spirit really goes to work. Lord, help us to remember that we don't have to be elegant and skillful at greeting one another. We just have to do it. Help us to do it. Help us to welcome one another as Jesus welcomes us. We pray in his name for his sake. Amen.